Nah, I don't wear a helmet on the street because I don't know why. I just don't. I wear one in the woods when I quad ride. Should be up to your discretion. I mean, if you want to wear a helmet, wear a helmet. If you don't, you shouldn't have to. It's free country, right? It's the feeling of freedom. It just feels too good. Plus, it's hot. When it's 85 degrees, you got a helmet on. 300 degrees underneath your butt, you know. It's a little warm.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. You just heard one motorcyclist's opinion of the idea of resurrecting a helmet law in Pennsylvania. That was Matt from the North Hills with his Harley outside Jack's Bar on the South Side. It was 10 years ago that Pennsylvania lawmakers gave motorists the choice to not wear helmets. The law states motorcyclists can ride without helmets if they are 21 or older and have 2 years of riding experience or have passed the state's motorcycle safety program. But since 2003, deaths in motorcycle crashes have increased 35%. Last year, more than half of those who died in motorcycle crashes were not wearing helmets. We'd like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What do you think about bringing a helmet law back to Pennsylvania? If you're a biker, do you wear a helmet? Do you think your fellow bikers should be required to do the same? And if you don't wear a helmet when you are out on your motorcycle, we'd like to know why not. 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESAFM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. I'm joined in our studio by Representative Dan Frankel of Squirrel Hill, who's in favor of reinstating the law requiring motorcyclists to wear helmets. He plans to introduce a bill directing a comprehensive study of the issue over the past decade. Dan Frankel, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
And with us by phone is Charles Umbenhauer. He's a lobbyist for the group Alliance of Bikers Aimed Toward Education of Pennsylvania. The group opposes a helmet law. Charles Umbenhauer, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, Pittsburgh. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Dan, let me begin with you. Why are you in favor of reinstating the helmet law in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think that the law since 2003 has demonstrated that that it has had its significant negative consequences for both motorcycle riders and the helmet in our Commonwealth. We see it in terms of the number of motorcycle deaths related to head trauma, and head trauma injuries as well are all up. We know that these have significant consequences to us as taxpayers, as insurance rate payers. There are significant costs involved to those of us who don't ride motorcycles as well. So I think that while I've been looking at legislation over the years to try and reinstate the bill, it's been a very difficult thing to get done in the legislature.
I was going to ask you how you would characterize the effort to do that.
I think that there, you know, for instance, there have been only a few co-sponsors. We've never been able to move the bill. Charles has done a very effective job in lobbying, and he represents his organization very effectively in Harrisburg. But what I'm arguing at this point is, look, you know, we have some, as we'll probably hear today, some conflicting data, and we have some national data that we don't have the detail to here in Pennsylvania that we ought to know in terms of what are the impacts, not just of fatalities, but of head traumas, of disabilities, and of costs related to those fatalities and those disabilities in terms of the loss of productivity and other communal costs to taxpayers, insurance rate payers, et cetera. I think we ought to at least inform ourselves after 10 years what have been the consequences of the law to repeal the all-helmet rider rule. We see some things in other states that should give us a clue.
And you characterized your efforts to reinstate the helmet law as futile. Why has there been such resistance? What are you hearing from people? You know, what are they saying about this?
Well, I think, like a number of other issues in our state, the public opinion, we haven't really polled on this issue, but my guess is public opinion would probably say you probably ought to have a helmet law. But the fact of the matter is that there is a very intense interest group represented by Mr. Umbenhauer that this is what they vote on. This is what they advocate for, and almost exclusively. And it's a very powerful message to legislators when they say somebody's going to make their decision to vote or to contribute campaign contribution solely on the basis of somebody's position with respect to this issue. So it's a single-issue group that is focused on their interests, and it goes beyond
helmet. And certainly these are not this is not the only single-issue group out there.
And by the way, Abate does some very good things. I mean, with respect to education of their members and promoting education on motorcycle driving and for others, for drivers to be conscious of motorcycles on the road to create a safer environment for motorcyclists and drivers to operate in. So they're not exclusively dealing with the helmet law, but on this issue, it seems to be one of the driving forces behind their advocacy efforts.
Charles Umbenhauer, why are you opposed? Why is the group that you represent opposed to reinstating the helmet law in Pennsylvania?
Well, we changed the law 10 years ago. That's a significant time span, 10 years. Within that 10-year time, the legislature, at the time that they voted to modify the helmet law, they didn't repeal it. We still have a helmet law here in Pennsylvania. They directed their own legislative budget and finance committee to do two studies on motorcycle injuries and fatalities following the passage of the helmet. They keep referring to it as a repeal, but...
Let's clarify it. I mean, when you say that there is still a helmet law, you have to wear a helmet until you are 21, until and unless you take the safety course. But the bottom line is that as an adult in this state, you do not have to wear a helmet.
That's correct.
So why are you opposed to that?
Well, we're not anti-helmet, and we don't tell anybody not to wear a helmet. We simply, you know, we're in Pennsylvania, the cradle of liberty, and it was a long, hard-fought battle. For 35 years, we had a mandatory helmet law in Pennsylvania, 35 long years. And fatalities and accidents continued to increase, which they are going to when you have an increase. For example, here, you know, they said there's been registrations have skyrocketed 53%. Since 2003. That's a tremendous amount of more motorcycles out there on the highway than there were in 2003. And when you get that many people out there on the highway, accidents, there's going to be more of them.
And to follow that logic, then wouldn't it make more sense to then have a helmet law if you have more bikers and an increased chance of accidents?
No. Simply here, the statistics that you stated earlier,
that more than half of the accidents that have occurred, say, just in the calendar year of 2012, more than 50% of the fatalities on motorcycles occurred with riders who were not wearing helmets.
100 wore helmets, 104 did not, and 6, they don't know. I don't know what that's all about, but nevertheless, right there, it's about 50% one way or the other. Now, of those 50% that became a fatality that were not wearing a helmet, we don't know if they became a fatality specifically because of head injuries or were there other mitigating injuries that were involved there. Unfortunately, I've been at the scene of several horrific motorcycle accidents, and usually when there's a death, there's more attributed to the death than the fact that somebody did or didn't have a helmet on. There's a lot of body trauma. It's not a good thing. Whether you're right or wrong on a motorcycle and you're in an accident, you usually lose that battle.
Dr. David Okonwo, he's the clinical director of UPMC Presbyterian's Brain Trauma Research Center. Dr. David Okonwo. And he has gone on record as saying riding a motorcycle without a helmet increases the chance of death or a catastrophic head or neck injury. So here's a medical expert. This is what he's saying. What about the risks that he's talking about here?
Well, irregardless, we live in America. We're risk takers. Everybody's risk takers. I see on TV all the time people jumping out of perfectly good airplanes. I sure wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to say that no one should be allowed to do it. I see people that climb mountains, and we have to send out rescue teams to get them back. I think it's foolish. It's crazy. I would never do it. But I'm certainly not going to advocate that you shouldn't be allowed to go climb a mountain. And motorcycling is no different. You know, the one thing that people, I never hear people use this word ever when it comes to motorcycling. Why are we riding motorcycles to begin with? Fun. We want to have fun. We just want to be left alone to do our thing and have fun. And we're not hurting anybody else. This is one thing, you know, and I know the argument that they say, no, other people are hurt when we have an accident and you become a fatality or injured in some other way that you have to be taken care of. But, you know, it can happen. You cross the street, you can get run over. So this is a choice that people make, an educated choice. There's a risk involved. Everybody accepts that risk, and they know that when they go out riding. But they love it, and they're passionate for it. And not all motorcyclists are in support of having a choice not to wear a helmet. There's many that think that you should have to wear a helmet. And I don't care if you wear it or not, but I don't think it should be mandated. It should be a choice.
Well, and Evel Knievel, you can count among those you mentioned. A guy who took his share of risks on a motorcycle was a very strong advocate for a mandatory helmet law throughout the United States. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to Stephanie in Pittsburgh, who'd like to join the conversation. Stephanie, you're on with Dan Frankel and Charles Umbenhauer.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I completely disagree with the last gentleman who was speaking, only because we're not telling these people that they can't ride a motorcycle. I mean, he was saying, leave us alone, lead us to ride. Well, we are leaving you to ride. All we're saying is, wear a helmet. Why would you even put yourself in that position to, you know, injure yourself? And head trauma absolutely is absolutely one of the biggest things that happens when there are accidents and in cause of fatality. The other thing I wanted to say is I have a lot of guy friends who ride bikes and who do not wear helmets, and it infuriates me. These are new dads. They are people who now have families, and it's not just about them. And to that, if I'm driving on the road and I'm required to wear a seatbelt, I don't see any difference than a biker having to wear a helmet.
Well, you know what? Well, I've been in this fight for a long time, and I remember the days when we used to say, why should we have to wear a helmet if they don't have to wear a seatbelt? Now, that's a whole new story there in another program. But basically, the argument here holds no water, because in Pennsylvania, and I think, Representative Frankel, you can back me up on this, not wearing a seatbelt is a secondary offense. You can't get pulled over and ticketed for not wearing a seatbelt unless you're in violation of some other moving violation, such as speeding or that. Now, a number of times the legislature has tried to make that a primary offense, and it fails every time. Why does it fail? Because the majority of the legislators, they think it's a good idea, but they don't want to get into the citizens' business of making all their choices for them.
Nevertheless, it is a law, and I think to get back to some of the points that were made here, you know, it's not just about the individual choice, and I know Charles talked about this, but the fact is there are consequences, broad consequences, for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and its citizens. The Center for Disease Control has done some significant studies here, and one of the reasons I want to do a study in Pennsylvania is to get Pennsylvania-specific information, but I think it's easy to extrapolate that this would be these statistics would be warranted here in Pennsylvania. The amount of costs that could be saved by an all-rider helmet law would be, for each fatality, it costs us $1.2 million in terms of hospitalizations and trauma treatment and so forth. There's $171,000 per head trauma injury, major head trauma injury, and $7,500 per minor head trauma injury. In total, the Center for Disease Control said in 2010, $3 billion in costs were saved as a result of helmet use in Pennsylvania. Another $1.5 billion could have been saved had there been a all-helmet rider law in all states. I mean, the reported use, you know, when we take a look at fatalities, 12% of fatalities in motorcyclists not wearing a helmet in states with a universal law, 64% in states with a partial law, and 79% of in a state without a helmet law. There's significant benefits, not only to riders, but to our community in terms of cost savings, and to, as Stephanie says, the costs that probably you can't even calculate to families who may suffer a loss or a total disability of a primary earner in that family.
We have a tweet from Dem in Pittsburgh who says, helmets for motorcycles should be treated the same as seatbelts. Motorcycles are only 2% of drivers, but motorcycle fatalities, 5% of fatalities each year. That's according to Dem, who tweeted in. And I guess I would put a question out there for either of our guests, and that is, has anybody looked at the measure of the trauma that is inflicted upon a driver? Obviously, nobody out there wants to hit anyone or anything, especially another driver, whether that person's in a car or a motorcycle. But if that does happen to occur, and that rider's not wearing a helmet and is, as medical experts have said, more prone to injury, where does that leave the unfortunate driver who happens to hit a motorcyclist?
Go ahead, Charles.
Unfortunately, that's one of the main problems that bikers have to deal with, is the fact that people don't pay attention, and it's getting to be more of a problem than less of a problem with all this technology and people texting and talking on cell phones and playing with their radios and everything else. But motorcyclists become victims of people that aren't paying attention and make left-hand turns in front of them and everything else.
Well, wouldn't that provide fodder for those arguing in favor of a helmet law, of a mandatory law requiring people to wear helmets?
Well, I think that's silly because, number one, you know, right away somebody's looking for an excuse. Well, yeah, I didn't see the poor biker that I hit him and maimed him or killed him or that, but it's not my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And now the poor guy wasn't wearing a helmet. It's his fault. That's baloney.
Well, we have Art in Edgewood who would like to join the conversation. Art, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Go ahead with your comment or question.
So quick comment. I have a motorcycle and a bike, and as a cyclist, when cars turn and accelerate and turn right in front of you, it's dangerous. But I do wear a helmet in both cases. But my question, I guess, is, the representative was talking about medical costs. I mean, you know, you can't say we will not pay for an emergency room visit if somebody is injured without a helmet. And clearly those costs are higher. So how does a person that's not in favor of the helmet law, how would he respond to that? I mean, are we supposed to not treat these injured people? Are we supposed to bill them for their medical care? How would that work?
Well, I've been a motorcyclist for 40 years. I'm going to go for a ride as soon as this program's over to clear my head, and I'm not going to wear a helmet. And I can guarantee you, if I happen to be unfortunate and be involved in an accident, I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to be treated, and my insurance is going to pay for it. I don't understand, you know, that the people, motorcyclists, you know, we're taxpayers, we have insurance, we have families, we're no different than anyone else. And just because we choose what safety equipment we want to use and choose to ride on occasion with or without a helmet, the medical profession, the cost to anybody is so insignificant. We represent such a small percentage of the medical cost in the year of looking at all the facts and figures. There's more and more people from falls and accidents and gun shootings and everything else than somebody that gets injured not riding without a helmet. And it's been proven time and time again that motorcyclists have the insurance to cover that just as much as anybody that's driving any other vehicle on the road.
Well,
don't single us out for that.
Charles, but I think we don't really know that. We don't know how extensive health care coverage is for motorcycle riders, something that we ought to study. We ought to find out. When we have a head trauma that goes to the hospital, how much of that is being paid for by the uncompensated care? How much of that is being paid for by federal and state programs like Medicaid that fall directly on the taxpayers? And, quite frankly, the other accidents and the other traumas, certainly for those of us who do have insurance and pay for insurance, go into the rate-making criteria, because the losses that are paid out by insurance companies certainly for motorcycle accidents certainly contribute to the increases in our premiums as well. So, again, in all these instances, it seems to me clearly taxpayers, insurance ratepayers, hospitals through their uncompensated care bear a significant cost and a consequence to folks who decide not to wear a helmet, and it's borne by all of us. And
I'm a taxpayer. I also have insurance, all kinds of insurance.
You do, but I'm not sure that the extent of all motorcyclists do.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to jump in and call it there. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree. But obviously, both of you very passionate about this topic, and Representative Dan Frankel, who, again, will be looking to introduce a bill directing a comprehensive study of the issue of this issue over the past decade. Representative Frankel, I want to thank you for joining us, as well as our guest, Charles Umbenhauer, who is a lobbyist for the group Alliance of Bikers, aimed toward education of Pennsylvania. And Charles, we wish you a safe ride on your bike after you're done here.
Absolutely, Charles. I want to see you back careful in Harrisburg next week.
I'm going to be extra careful today.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Coming up, what to do with abandoned buildings in Homewood. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.